Angela Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola. I'm coming to you from the very, very cold suburbs of Chicago. I really appreciate you joining me today on RBN. Their website is republicbroadcasting.org. To see the guest lineup and relevant links for this program, please visit spingola.com, where you will see the names of all the guests that I've had on the program since October 23rd, 2010, as well as links to their websites. Just visit my website and click on the radio schedule button. Please also visit SpingolaSpeaks.info, a site that one of our wonderful, very talented listeners created. During the program, email your questions or comments to comment@spingola.com. Join others in the chat room by clicking on the chat room button on my website or by going to spingola.chatango.com. We will take calls in the second hour when we open the phone lines at 800-313-9443. My guest today is Evangelos Ekatomatis. I last spoke with him on he was last on the program on November 24th, 2012. Evangelos, do we have you?
Yes, sir.
How are you?
I'm fine. And you?
I'm very good. I was very worried about things that were going on in Greece in the past couple of days, because it seemed like it was very tenuous. And, things were getting a little heated up over there, correct?
Yes, correct.
Yes. Well, perhaps, first of all, you are the co-founder of the Golden Dawn in Greece. And previously, you published the National Socialist Review, since then, you've had to stop publication of that?
Yes, actually, I was the manager of this journal, but after that... this effort stopped, and the reason was, let's say, the coming legal environment, which is becoming quite dangerous. So we forced to stop this publication.
Okay, and it was a magazine that kind of focused on historical events and particularly referring to the Third Reich, and you talked about...
Yes, it was a magazine that mainly studying the issue of National Socialist ideology and different historical topics around Second World War and... the period of Third Reich.
Right. And you also talked about globalism and you are against multiculturalism.
Yes, of course.
Right. In fact, you actually published an article of mine.
Yes.
and thank you for doing that.
I look forward, you know, to translate some parts of your great books and to publish in some other Greek magazines or maybe newspapers. I will see.
Sure. Well, that would be great. So tell us what happened in the last week and give us an idea of what the environment in Greece is. Now, I was in Greece in 2007, and that was right before they, or was it 2005? 2005. Or 2004. Mm-hmm. It was right before the games.
I think it was, yes, 2004 were the Olympic games, so 2004.
Right, I was there in 2004 because they were still building and getting ready, and I thought, how in heaven's name are they going to get this prepared in just a short period of time? And you managed to do it, but it's a beautiful country. I was just very, very happy to visit there, and sorry that things have taken such a drastic change. Just in a few, 9 years.
Yes, the change took place. The first wave, let's say, were the massive immigration that started to come from Africa, Middle East, Far East, from Asia. And the second, that brought a different kind of problems, but mainly it was the rapid growth of criminality. And the second was a dramatic change in demographics, and also the problem that the majority of these immigrants, illegal immigrants, are Muslims. And this is a different, you know, culture that creates additional problems. So the second was in 2009, where the Prime Minister of Greece invited the IMF to come in Greece. And so IMF, the central bank of European bank, and let's say the European community, this troika, these three parts, started to lend in the Greece with I can say big interest.
That is kind of interesting, because I know that they had to borrow a lot of money just to prepare for the games.
They did it very clever. Why? Because there is the Central European Bank that belongs, is a private bank, you know, it belongs to Rothschilds. We have IMF, which is also a private institute. Despite the fact that are participating different countries, and this one also belongs to Rothschilds, and they put it also in the game, and the governments of European Union, of course, the leading government is the German government, because right now in European Union, Germany is the most, let's say, has a better economic financial condition than all the other countries. So Germany plays a key role in European Union, and all the let's say the programs of enslavement of Europe are coming through this government. Which is an occupation government. It's not a free government in Germany.
Right.
So it is interesting how they did it. And within a period of 3 years, we had about 2 million Greek people lost their jobs. They continue, you know, to throw out of the public section thousands of workers, and also the salaries and the pensions every 3 or 4 months are becoming lower and lower. And
you're saying that that the jobs that people lost were like government jobs, public jobs?
Yes, public, and this also because you know less money in the market.
Sure.
You know.
Okay, we do have to go to a real quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back in 3 minutes after a word from our sponsors.
Yes, right.
Evangelos Akatomatis. He is living in Greece, And you were talking about the situation, the job situation over there, which is quite similar to the one here. But in your country, I think it's more more obvious. The immigrants are more obvious because your country is smaller, and yet you have the same kinds of economic problems, but it's more apparent. And I think that you also have a media that talks about it. Is that true or not?
You know, the media here are the mainstream media are controlled. You know, they are controlled by the system, so they promote, you know, the situation, and they are, let's say, pro-debt oriented. Imagine now that when we went inside, let's say, this Troika program of IMF, the total debt of Greece, it was supposed to, it was 120% than the national growth product of Greece. And now is more than 200%. Wow. So the situation is becoming rapidly worse. And there is no future, no future way, you know, to all this debt to be paid. Of course, these people they want to destroy the infrastructure of Greece to make it look like a country of the African continent. And moreover, they are looking forward to get the minerals of Greece, which is a quite a rich country. So to get them for very little money.
Exactly, and that is essentially what they do in every single country. They either wage economic war or military war.
Yes, and it is quite interesting how they we went in this story, because they created false numbers that were not correct in order to put us in this situation. And at the same time, they said because Greek banks had a problem after that, because the people couldn't afford to pay on a regular basis the loans that had got, you know, from the banks, and so the government bail out the bankers and covered
exactly what is going on here, and of course it's the same bankers, the same cabal of criminals, right?
Yes, exactly the same. And what happened? The debt of the bankers became the debt of the state. That means the people actually have to pay all this. So the taxes started to become too much. They put it extra taxes to everyone that has a piece of property. Now the people don't have money, you know, to pay these taxes. And the government is taking the houses of the people. At the same time, of course, and the bankers are taking the money of the houses, the properties of the people. Of course, there was a law in Greece that the bank didn't have the right, you know, to take your first house. That means the house that you are living didn't have the right, the bank, you know, to take it. But now, after the beginning of the new year, the law is going to change, and we'll start to take and also the only house that you are living at.
Oh my goodness.
Yes, the unemployment now is officially is close to 28%, but the reality is around 40%.
And my goodness.
People, you know, living in terrible situation and in charity. And all this, you know, brought a bigger popularity to the Golden Dawn political party. Why? Because it is the only political party that makes solidarity events and is delivering free food to the people on a permanent basis. So it became, you know, quite popular. And because of the reason, you know, that is distributing this these foods only to Greek people, you know, the system had tried, you know, to block this charity events because said, oh, this is a racist, you know, policy. It didn't succeed it so far, but after, I believe, when they will vote as soon as the new law, it will not be able, you know, anymore to do it only for Greeks.
Well, this is just amazing, and so many similarities between Greece and the United States. But we don't have the unification here in this country because there's so much diversity. And
yes. What is holding the Greek society is because there is a good tradition in Greece, solidarity. And so what is happening when the children, you know, are losing their job, they are going and they live with a grandmother and with a grandfather and with a small patient. They are trying, you know, to cover all, you know, the expenses or you know, all the members of a family that try, you know, one help the other one, and also the, you know, in neighborhoods they try to bring food to somewhere that has no food. So this also helped a lot of the Greek people, and also the Greek church is helping a lot. Of course, the Greek church also is helping the immigrants. But from a religious point of view, is all right, this.
Yes, and, yes, of course. And the immigrants, I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you, but the yes. immigrants, although they probably are a social burden, a financial burden on the country, is that correct?
The immigrants, they just increase, you know, the problem.
Right.
You know. With the immigrants, okay, is a demographic, you know, problem, which is, from my point of view, is the number one, because the economic problem, you may solve it, but the demographic problem, if it is too deep, it is hard, you know, to be solved. And, you know, since the beginning of this crisis, more than 150,000 young Greek people, the best educated people.
I'm sorry, we do have to take a real quick 3-minute break. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors. Evangelos Ekatomatis, and he is living in Greece. He is the co-founder of the Golden Dawn and also published a wonderful magazine that talked about Third Reich of the National Socialism, nationalism, traditionalism, white racial conscience and identity, anti-Zionism, anti-usury, anti-multiculturalism, all those kinds of things that listeners to this program are interested in. Do you have any gun laws in Greece?
In Greece, it's not like in USA, you cannot have a gun. You need to, if you want to have a gun, is only a hunting gun that you need a special permission. Otherwise, you need to make a special application if you want to get, let's say, a pistol. But you have to prove that your life is in danger. So not many people have guns.
Well, that is unfortunate. Now there have been, and I've seen videos because you've sent them to me, Skyped them to me. I've seen videos of members of Golden Dawn being shot down on the street, shot down in cold blood, murdered.
Yes. Yes, but before I go to this event, I wanted to tell you that on October there was a murder of a leftist rapper that was supposed to, it was done this by a supporter of Golden Dawn. From what we know, there was an argument. This argument had to do with football. And after this fight, this guy was stabbed by a supporter of Golden Dawn. I think that this man was a provocateur, because in the past he was a member of the Communist Party. And he was from a very, very, poor family. That means, this smells to me that, these people easily, can get money. And it is not so easy, from a Communist Party to become a member, especially of Golden Dawn. And he was not officially a member, but he was a supporter, because he was taking place in some political activities of Golden Dawn, but just for a few months before this event.
And you have infiltrators into the Golden Dawn movement in order to marginalize it?
Probably, yes. And after that event, all the media started, for a period of time of 2 or 3 weeks, saying that Golden Dawn has to be banned, that is, has criminal activities and so on. And it's quite interesting. One of the ministers of the government said in an interview that, Golden Dawn can be, we can fight this phenomenon of Golden Dawn only by putting them in prison and giving them the label of criminal organization. And it's quite interesting. A few days, after this statement, police raided the houses of six members of Golden Dawn that were members also of the parliament, arrested them, but this process was 100% illegal and anti-constitutional, because all the members of the parliament have immunity. Anyway, this six members of Golden Dawn, that was actually was let's say the top leadership of Golden Dawn. They kept them in custody, and the first three of them were released. And after that, you know, the Prime Minister made a phone call to the judges not to release and the other three. The judges probably they didn't find you know any event any no any you know evidence in order to keep them in jail. So we released the first three, and how we know this, you know, when the Prime Minister went in America, gave an interview and said that, you know, judges is operating in Greece. You saw, you know, the three first parliamentary members of Golden Dawn that were released. But this, at least in the beginning, I didn't, you know, phone call. So he actually said that in the, after the release of the first three, he made a phone call in order to keep them, the rest of the three, in prison. So this is what happened.
Right.
And there was almost 1 week before an application from the leader of Golden Dawn, who remains in custody. He made an application for a bail that it was rejected. Yesterday it was rejected. I'm quite interested, you know, to read why it was rejected, because so far police don't have find any, you know, evidence that was connected in any part, let's say, of that murder or any special, you know, criminal activity. But anyway, this is what came up. From my point of view, I'm sure that they are going to keep these three members, and for sure the leader of Golden Dawn, in prison until the Euro elections that are, and local elections that are going to take place in May, in the coming new year. But I have to tell you that in the first November there was this that you saw in the video, this brutal murder of two members of Golden Dawn that were murdered actually on the spot, and also there was another one member that was heavily wounded and remains until now in critical condition in the hospital. And this was committed by a leftist terrorist in organization. However, I do believe that this organization is somehow connected with secret services.
Right, the secret service. Yeah.
Why I say this, because, you know, the offices of Golden Dawn were protected by the police. And that day, in that specific offices, there was no police outside, but there was a police car that was making rounds around the block of the offices. So when this event took place, the police said we were in the back side of this block, of the block of the building. But there is a big number of witnesses that say that in front of this event there were policemen, undercover policemen, that were watching the event, but they did nothing, you know. So I think this was an act to bring terror, you know, to the simple members of Golden Dawn, because they could, you know, to kill some a member of the leadership of Golden Dawn.
Right. Alrighty, we are going to a quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsor. Modest, and he is a member and co-founder of the Golden Dawn. And some people are wondering how. Go ahead.
Yes, just to make a correction, I am one of the co-founders of Golden Dawn, but I'm not an active member of Golden Dawn.
Okay.
Okay.
How did they arrive at that name? It seems obvious to me. I mean, Golden Dawn, it's something new and different and something that's arising. Is that why you named it that? Is that why they named it that?
Yes, but somehow there is a confusion in some people, or some people have a big fantasy that is confusing the Golden Dawn, the political party of Greece with the Golden Dawn of that was established in England from Chamberlain and so on, but there is no connection, you know, because that organization represented a different kind of spirit.
Right. So
this esoteric, you know, organization of Golden Dawn that existed in England, you know.
Okay.
Or of Aleister Crowley, I mean.
Now there was a large group of protesters in Greece, in Athens, just recently, in the last couple of days. Could you tell us what happened and?
There was a gathering protest, and the protest concerning the illegal imprisonment of the three Golden Dawn members, parliamentary members, and it was very successful. Very many thousands of people went to the central square of Syntagma Square, is the central square out of the Greek Parliament, and also there was a program for a march to take place towards the Ministry of Justice, but police didn't give the license, you know, to take place this march. But at the same time, there were two other gatherings of Antifa and anti-racists. But the police gave the permission, you know, to these people to march around. Anyway, it is the system or the regime in Greece is doing everything in order to sabotage any political action of Golden Dawn. And the people is realizing that Golden Dawn is the only political party which is a real danger to the current corrupted system. And this is the reason that people are starting, you know, to turn in favor of Golden Dawn. So the whole of effort of the government to destroy this political party became a boomerang to them. And actually, Golden Dawn, from month to month, is becoming more popular and more people are approaching Golden Dawn.
That's wonderful. Now, do you have an alliance? Does the Golden Dawn in Greece have an alliance with other nationalist parties in Europe?
You know, officially, they don't have officially. And this is for many reasons. I mean, for historical and ideological reasons. But there are, now Golden Dawn became a model, let's say, political organization, nationalist political organization, for very many different political groups and parties all around Europe. And this is the reason that there were taking place all around Europe, even, you know, in Latin America, you know, solidarity events towards the Golden Dawn. You see, in Europe, let's say, there are some big political parties, like the Nationalist Party in Holland or in France. But these political parties are they want to have a good relationship, and actually they want to have an alliance with Israel against the Islamification of Europe. But Golden Dawn, you know, is equally against Zionism and against the Islamification of Europe. So there is no cooperation, not possible, you know, to cooperation to take place. And also the in Hungary, that there is the Jobbik party, which is quite popular, and I can say is the most, let's say, close to the ideological platform of Golden Dawn. There's a big issue, a big difference, because Jobbik is their philo-Turkish political party, and they also have a very positive view towards Islam. So again, it's not possible, you know, to have a special relationship.
Sure.
So you see, Europe is very divided. However, there are some political parties, like the Finnish nationalists or the British nationalists, that also they have representatives in the European Parliament, that they protested about the illegal arrests of the parliamentarians of Golden Dawn. That they are not so close, actually, ideological, but they had a very fair, you know, position towards Golden Dawn.
Now, do you feel that, of course, all the Muslims that are coming from the Middle East, and they're coming there because the their countries have been destroyed. Just as Mexico was destroyed, and it forced a lot of Mexicans to come into the United States.
No, it's very different. For example, in America, the Mexicans just find a way, you know, to cross the borders. But in order to come in Greece, they need to, you know, to pass tens of thousands, you know, of miles. And that means they need money, and these people are very, very poor. They don't have money. And what is happening is the Saudis are sponsoring them through a network, which is actually a mafia network, and they say them, in order to bring you in Greece, I need 4,000 or 5,000. US dollars. But when you come in Greece, you have to pay back, you know, they have to pay back these modern slavers with much more money. If, let's say, they spent for this trip 4,000, they have to to pay 7,000. So it's very different.
Interesting. That's kind of like
The interesting thing is that because these people, okay, it is normal they want to find a better job and they want to come in Greece. But the leftists who are supporting, you know, the coming, you know, illegal immigrants are not, you know, against this mafia that brings the illegal immigrants.
Let's talk about this when we come back from the top of the hour break. We will be back at 6 minutes after the hour. This is a very interesting conversation. I hope that that we can continue this. Okay, back at 6 after the hour.
Tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. This is the second hour of Spingola Speaks. Before we get back to our guest, I would like to tell you that Werner Bach called me last night at about 6:30. We talked for about a half hour. He had a court date this morning, and he was taking Judy Day, who is an advocate, with him, and she's been in court. He was very concerned about what they would do, and anyway, he is now in jail. He did call into the program this morning. Apparently, they get one phone call, and he did call in and to let Manny know that that he is in jail. And of course, he is in jail because the Canadian government is attempting to silence him. He is an advocate against fracking and against the government seizure of private property and numerous other things. And so I hope that you will keep him in your prayers and remember him and hope for the best for him. And hopefully we will determine what exactly happened. Obviously the judge ruled against him. And as I say, Judy Day accompanied him. I'm going to attempt to get her onto the program so that she can give us the details and so that we can get more information about this case. All righty, back to our guest, Evangelos Ekatamadas. He is in Greece, and he's talking about the situation that is going on there. Someone in the chat room had a question. Now, you're no longer part of Golden Dawn, correct?
Correct.
And why is that?
I have a serious ideological issue. And the program of Golden Dawn concerning the economic section of the program of Golden Dawn is against of the regime, but it is not anti-systemic. I am 100% anti-systemic. I do not believe that there is any future of Greece inside the European Union, inside the Eurozone. I do not believe that there is any hope if the central bank of Greece is private, how it is today, and if you don't control the money that you issue. You have to issue the money, and this money must be free of usury. And this is the key reason that I am not a part, as far they do not adapt my views to this point that I consider it very, very, very important. I cannot become let's say active member. I can become a supporter, but not an active member.
Okay. Now, before the break, you were talking about the immigration issue and the fact that the Saudis were actually loaning money or providing money to immigrants, to the immigrants coming from the Middle East, because they are very, very poor, and that they were providing money. And it kind of made me think about the situation in Canada with the Canadian government loaning money to a lot of the Germans right after World War II, or the decade after World War II, for young men, young families going to Canada from Germany, and of course they had to pay the money back. Now, is that the case with the refugees from the Middle East? Do they have to pay the Saudis back, or is the Saudi government, which is Jewish controlled,
the Saudis is behind all this story? But they pay the money to the mafia network.
Okay.
You can imagine, you know, this network, who is behind, you know. And Saudis also are sponsoring certain communist parties in Greece and all around Europe. You see, this Islamic immigration is becoming a tool alive for the promotion of the globalist, the new globalist propaganda. And in the past, let's say the leftists or the communists, they were influencing the poor workers. But now all the European poor workers are moving towards the nationalist parties. And so today the leftists are using the immigrants as let's say the front of their movement.
I see. And they do that in every country. They use any kind of minority or immigrant or refugee in
But especially, yeah, especially in Europe, they use the Muslims. Why? Because Israel, they want, you know, to create, first of all, they want to create a big war in between Sunnis and Shiites, something that has already started. The Sunnis are 100% controlled by the Zionists. All the leadership of, the religious leadership of Sunnis are Jews, and Zionist Jews. So it's interesting because all the immigrants we have in Europe, 99% are Sunnis. And the mosques that they want to build are all Sunnis. And the people that are coming in Europe, you see, most of them, the vast majority are men. They're above 16 years old. That means they have been in the army, because the men in Bangladesh, in Pakistan, are going 14 years in the army. They stay 2 years in the army, and 16 years, when they are 16, they have finished their military service, and they are well trained in the weapons. So these are, I believe, in the future they want, after this big war, to start a war in between Islam and Christians. I don't know how is going to happen, but it is sure that it is going to happen in Europe. It will be a very bloody war.
Yes, and of course, I agree.
And of course, the Zionists will be backing the part of the Muslims.
Don't they usually back both sides, and then they benefit from the side that wins usually has to pay off the debt?
Yes, they do it. This is how they always operate. But I believe, it is how much you give to the side that you want to win.
Sure.
How it happened in the previous wars.
Sure.
In the very beginning, we start to lend or support both sides.
Sure. They underfund the side that they want to lose, and then the winning side has to pay the debts for the losing side.
And it will be, I believe, a very bloody war, and they will try to extend the war as possible in order, to bring more destruction and death.
Right. Oh, my goodness. We are going to a 3-minute break, and we will take some callers after we come back from the break, because we do have some callers lining up. So we will be back in 3 minutes. Evangelist Ekatomatis, and why don't we go ahead and take some callers. Let's take Mark in Louisiana. Mark?
Yes, hi, good afternoon to both. First, let me just say that I'm very sorry about what's happening to Werner. I wish him the best. I think he's a great guy. I hope nothing but the best for him. And I'm also very glad that you have your guest today to discuss a very important subject. Now, I think he answers, some of my questions, and that is, I was going to ask him about, the European Union, and I think he has hit it right on the nail. The European Union is conceived and run by the Zionists, and no country can ever hope to progress as long as it's within the European Union. And what I cannot understand, and maybe he can explain it to me, is how people in Greece, of all the people, cannot see through this. How can they be bamboozled, in staying within the European Union in electing Zionist agents to be their leaders? That's beyond me. I can't understand that.
It's the power of propaganda of the mainstream media, especially the big television channels, networks, and they have the wrong idea somehow that Europe is going to come to help, and also they have the impression that if they will go out of Europe, if they return back to a national currency, things are going to become much worse. This is the propaganda that I have. It is, something that it is repeated again and again from the politicians. So I think a big number of the people, maybe 50, around 50%, they remain, to this propaganda.
So would you say in your neighbor Serbia, that the news media is totally controlled and owned by the Jews? Is it the same in Greece?
Yes, and even not the Jews are Zionist, puppets. Yes, they are controlled.
Well, let me just make one last point before I say goodbye. I believe Islamization, or the program of Islamization, particularly in Europe, it's instigated and supported by Zionism. So I think it's a pity that people don't realize that the Islamization program is, in fact, sponsored and created and supported by the Jews. And if people don't realize that, they're just being bamboozled also. Thank you very much, sir.
You're welcome.
All righty. Thank you for your call. Appreciate that. All righty. Let's take Fred in Michigan. Fred, welcome to the program.
Hi there.
Hi.
And the previous caller causes me to say everyone needs to read, of course, your books, Deanna, and the books.
Synagogue of Satan.
Synagogue of Satan, yeah. And Conspiracy.
I know what your favorite book is.
Yeah, well, the book that changed my life, I tell Stan Monteith whenever I can, but now that he's heard it so much, he calls me a Jew hater. He asks me, why do I hate the Jews? And I say, I don't hate the Jews, just the satanic entities who comprise the synagogue of Satan, which I think nowadays are the Pharisaic Esquire attorneys, and of course their cohort. Iceland did a marvelous deed. We need to replicate the Icelandic program of incarcerating the Zionist banksters. I don't know quite how to proceed in a lawful manner, although I guess it would be lawful because it violates, you know, the private central bank violates the federal charter, gold and silver mandate. So it seems, Deanna, that we have a lawful mandate by which to proceed to round up and incarcerate. And forget about a trial, just throw them a party on the Great Barrier Reef and, you know, accidentally blow up the ship and let them all learn to swim with great white. But, you know, in Greece, I'm wondering if there's any people who have discussed the Icelandic solution. Yeah, I'm wondering. I'm thinking that would be the.
Yes, problem. I know this solution in Iceland, but the problem is that already in Greece, the debts of the banks now have passed and became a debt of the country. So in Iceland, what they did, they left the banks to be bankrupt. So this is a solution good of Iceland. I do agree with you, but the stage that we are right now in Greece is behind us. This has to be done in the beginning. You know,
are the people in Greece armed like they are here in America?
No, unfortunately, no. Of course, there are some people that have illegal guns, but illegally, in some parts of Greece that there is also this, let's say, tradition. But no.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, we answered that question previously.
Yes, but from my point of view, the citizen must have the right, you know, to bear and possess guns, and not only just you know, hunting guns, but I mean military guns. But this is a matter that is a different, you know, issue, and I don't believe in Greece that politicians will ever let the people, you know, to have this right, because the people are not going, you know, to stay pathetic, you know, and not use these guns against the politicians. So I don't believe ever in Greece will let them, unless if there is some government that is going to liberate the country.
Right. All right. Fred, did you have another question?
No, I was just going to say it'd be great if the military would, collaborate with your guest's endeavor. That would be something to pray for, actually, I would say. Okay, thank you.
All right, great thank guest. You, Fred. What side is the military on in Greece? Do you have an army there?
Yes, there is an army, but the army, you know,
it's run by the politicians, right?
The army, yes.
All righty, we will be back in 3 minutes after a word from our sponsor. Evangelos Ekatomatis, and we do have another caller on the line, Robert in Missouri. Robert, welcome.
Hello, and I would just like to say, this marriage made in hell between Zionist Israel and the Sunni Wahhabis, both of them Rothschild little fiefdoms, little entities that are created through British intelligence, CIA, and the rest of it. The flood of Muslims going into Europe, it's all Sunni pretty much. The Sunnis and the Israelis are ready to attack Iran together. That's been all over the press, all over the world. They're attempting to overthrow Bashar Assad in Syria. I hope they don't. But what I really think this whole thing is the Israelis and the Sunni Wahhabis in Saudi Arabia, they made this agreement to where the Islamic world is going to fall under a caliphate that's ran out of Saudi Arabia. And they're going to give Israel a bunch more land, part of Syria, part of Jordan, who knows what. And at the same time, they're going to try to topple all of the white countries on this planet. And whether it's going to be a complete white genocide or not remains to be seen, but if you read some of the quotes from the numerous rabbis over the last 100 years talking about how they consider the white race their mortal enemy on this planet that needs to be eradicated, and even some of these Harvard and Yale professors such as Noel Ignatieff or whatever his name is talking about whiteness needs to be eradicated, and Barbara Spector over there in Europe talking about Europe's going to have to get used to a non-white reality and so forth. This is an attempted white genocide by these two gangs here, and but I think it all comes out of the city of London and, you know, wherever else these Rothschild sickos reside. And unfortunately, the white people of this planet are so brainwashed, programmed, and everything else that they embrace their own suicide. And there is an awakening going on, but it's slow, and I don't know if it's going to come up to speed fast enough before the rug gets pulled out of from under of all of our white societies. And, you know, this stuff going on in Sweden and Norway, it's absolutely appalling. And you know, this program of emasculating white men, it's it makes me furious as a white person. And I'll tell you what, I hope Golden Dawn stays strong. I watched the video of the two members getting murdered outside of the office. It really turns your stomach, and just, you know, the people out here keeping up on what's going on to white people around this planet. We're a small percentage of the population of this planet, and we are under attack. And anybody that doesn't think so is not paying attention. And
all right, Evangelos, what are your views on what the caller just said?
I absolutely agree with him, and also I want to to mention that the fact that during you know, Ottoman Empire, this empire was controlled by the Jews, and even the Caliphate, the so-called sacred Caliphate, it was controlled by the Jews, and the fact that this empire went down, it went on purpose in order to be created in the future the state of Israel on the land of Palestine. And you know, everything is as a part of a big plan of for Zionist cabal. The question is how we are going to resist. I do believe that in Greece we can resist, and maybe Greece is becoming right now a good example for all white nations all over the world. And I do believe that through our history and our ancient philosophers within the spirit of idealism, we can win at the end.
Well, thank you. Robert, did you have another comment or question?
Yeah, I just, you know, the so-called white communities of this planet were so diverse that we let that get in the way of our own unity, and then we let the ADL types, the Anti-Defamation League types, the Southern Poverty Law types, brand us as haters when Mexicans, blacks, Jews, Chinese, whenever they show any form of unity, that's okay. But anytime Europeans, people of European descent, ever move towards a unification, that automatically it sets off every alarm bell in the Zionist media and this Zio control grid, wherever that education, banking, media, Hollywood, the entire Zio grid goes into overdrive to try to squash it. And what we need to do right now, all of us that are white, is say, I got to cast fear to the wind. Time is to stand, whether you're a Viking, a Spaniard, a Roman, it doesn't matter, an Anglo-Saxon, a Frenchman. We all have to just say, hey, we have to cast fear into the wind and just stand and say, look, this isn't about hating other people. It's about defending our own. And that's the key to this whole thing.
All right, Evangelos.
And that's what I just wanted to say. All right.
Well, thank you, Robert. Appreciate your phone call.
Yes. You know the system is trying, you know, to attack us by creating these new laws as the new anti-racist law. However, I do believe that we have the chance to move on for many reasons. First of all, because we have a great history and a very, very rich language, the Greek language, we can use new terms. So there's no problem if they, let's say, forbid us to use special terms. We can find other terms. So from this point of view, it is impossible, you know, to fight us. Then if they, let's say, with a new law, you cannot make a criticize almost to nobody. So, but we can criticize the way, you know, that things are operating. So again, we can find a way, you know, to tell the truth. They are not going to stop us, and they have to think very seriously, because this law, we are going to use it against them.
Right. The beneficial thing about the Greeks is that they do have a lengthy history. They do have unity, with the exception of the insurgents of Muslims coming into your country. But you do have that unity. And in this country, in the United States, there is such diversity. There are so, so many different groups. But I think that if we all recognize where the dangers come from and who is actually creating the problems, and that is the situation, is that so many people are so busy watching a football, or they're going shopping, or they're engaged in so many activities that actually take your focus off of what's really important, that they don't recognize what's going on. And they've infiltrated so many of the organizations, all of the organizations that I can think of.
I think, yes, most of them are infiltrated.
Yes, and that is a serious situation, because whenever they infiltrate, they take over the philosophy, and they take over the direction of every organization, and exploit it for their own benefits. And so that is the situation. But and people don't read. People are so busy. They're so doing other things that are really not important, in my view. They're not reading. They're not educating themselves. They're not listening to alternative programming. Rather, they're listening to the mainstream and learning nothing except what the Jews would like them to learn or know. Alrighty, we are going to a 3-minute break. We'll be right back. Evangelist Ekatomatis, and someone in the chat room said regarding the Greeks have courage. They have not been emasculated as American males have. Would you agree with that? And if not, how is that accomplished?
I do agree, and I want to mention something that I had to before. When the arrest, you know, took place, after that started a terror program, propaganda in Greece against nationalists and national socialists. And this is done by anti-terrorist police forces that started, you know, to raid in different houses of Golden Dawn, but and non Golden Dawn members, and so far they have raided, I believe, around 500 houses all over Greece. They have also raided more than 50% of Golden Dawn offices, and it is very interesting because in 1st November, when the members of Golden Dawn were arrested, parliamentary members, Golden Dawn had around 70 offices all around Greece. Now has about 80 offices. So it is becoming stronger, and members, friends, and supporters of Golden Dawn didn't let, you know, themselves to be feared, you know, by the system. So didn't succeed, but didn't succeed their purpose, but created some problems, because when you come in your house and find, for example, in your kitchen a big knife, then they prosecute you for having an illegal weapon.
Oh.
So, yes, the situation is crazy, but what is happening. But this makes people become, you know, more angry against the system, and more sort of, let's say, of fanatism, and to fight back stronger. So this is... has the opposite, exactly the opposite results of what they wanted.
Sure. When in this country, I think that people they would say, okay, well, we better get rid of our knives because we don't want to get arrested. And I think...
this is not what is happening in Greece, and it is strange, but it is something that we see it throughout our history. When you say to Greek people, you know, don't do this, you know, or start, you know, to attack to the people tends in favor of the person that is getting, let's say, the blow, and does exactly the opposite.
Right.
So now in the opinion polls also, it is obvious that Golden Dawn is much more popular, and also the leader, which is in the prison of Golden Dawn, is becoming more popular in every opinion poll that is appeared.
Now, do you think that the problem with the unemployment is to create a situation in which you will be more vulnerable? People without food usually think first of feeding their family themselves and not fighting the government. So do you think that they're taking away a person's employment and taking away food and
that kind of thing? This is the reason that there is... too many people, you know, unemployed, and you don't see massive protests anymore in Greece, because they want to, you know, they stop, you know, to thinking about the politics, and they try just to survive.
Sure.
This is a problem, but at the same time, they are starting, you know, to becoming very disgusting with the policies of the government, because the government, in everything that says... is no more is not accurate, because it says that we are going to have a growth, and we see the opposite. We are going, you know, to have less unemployment, but unemployment is rising. So
let me ask you another question. Because the government does provide health care for you, do they use vaccines and that kind of thing to create illnesses in order to make the population more vulnerable and unable to defend themselves?
Yes, this vaccination is something that you have to do it when you know, the child is born and is young. However, concerning the health system, now is starting to become worse, and the government now asks from the people, you know, to pay when goes in the hospitals, while the immigrants, they don't pay nothing. And at the same time, they have to pay a very big percentage of the medicines. And medicines now started to bring medicines from countries that are not, you know, if a medicine is produced in Pakistan with no control, of course it is dangerous for the population. And so far, within these 3 years, the average life in Greece went down 3 years. The average life in Greece was 81 years old, and now we are in 78 years old, according to the official statistics. And we have more than 6,000 suicides from people who are in desperate situation. They cannot survive, or they cannot pay back their debts, or see their property to be their property that is confiscated or taken by the banks, by the bankers. Greece lives in a terrible situation.
Right.
And also we have all these young people that now Greek young people, well educated, that they flee, they go out of of Greece in Europe, in America, Canada, or Australia, to find a job just to survive. And at the same time, every day, you know, are coming new immigrants in Greece. So I believe 20-40 years the immigrants are becoming a majority. I don't know. So we have to do something now. Not in the future, will be maybe too late.
Sure. So they're really trying to homogenize the population, and if the younger people, educated people, are leaving, and
yes.
then you're going to have a system, a country that will not be able to stand up. And then, as you said in the beginning of the program, the whole purpose of it is to snatch your resources, the natural assets of your country.
Exactly. And these resources are very big. We have oil, you know, we have natural gas, and not only this, we have many, you know, very rare, you know, minerals. So they actually started, you know, to taking them, and the government also started to sell public property
for
very, very low prices.
Okay, to the bankers and that kind of thing, right?
They sell it. Is quite interesting how they do it. They sell it to Israeli companies, multinational Israeli companies, and
right.
German American companies.
Oh, gosh. Oh, I'm so sorry. Thank you so very much for being on the program. We have run out of time, but thank you so very much.
I'm thanking you very much.
All righty. Bye-bye. Talk to you soon.
Okay.